All right, we are delighted to have Brother David to come and preach to us once again before he leaves, and appreciated the messages he's had on the under-shepherd and as well as the shepherd, and I believe we're going to hear about a shepherd tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right, glad to hear you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Please take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 23. As we have considered the fact that Jesus has given the pastor shepherd to the local congregation, I would like to continue on thinking about Jesus and ultimately Jesus is the shepherd that we must have eternally in order to have life and to experience a joy forevermore and to live in a way that's the praise and honor and glory of his great name. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Lord, we come to your word this afternoon asking for you to speak. And Lord, we know that we have a hearing problem. Would you give us ears to hear? Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you give us a heart to receive your word? And Lord, may we be blessed as the psalmist was. Lord, would you pour out your grace and your mercy upon the proclamation of your word? Lord, I pray for those that hear. And Lord, I pray for myself that I would be able to speak. And it's through Jesus, the good shepherd, Jesus, the Lord of Lords, that I pray this prayer. Amen. As we have considered the shepherd, I've said much already about Jesus being the good shepherd and many characteristics and qualities about the work that the local shepherd should do as is followed by the work that Jesus has done. But what benefit is there? What benefit is there of knowing the Lord and being in right relationship with him? What does it mean for the Lord to be your shepherd? In verse 1, the psalmist declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord as shepherd, we know that this is again, a picture for us of the sheep being cared for by somebody, that somebody would be the shepherd caring and tending the sheep of his pasture. And so I hope that all of us will agree this evening that we need to be taken care of. It doesn't matter who you are here. Praise the Lord for the head of household. But even the head of household needs to be cared for and taken care of. Who is taking care of you? Are you relying on a person to care for you? I know the kids will hear this and say, ultimately, yes, my parents are taking care of me. But let us go deeper. Let us go eternally, for your parents will take care of you for a time. But then they will not be the ones taking care of you. It is likely that you will be taking care of them. So who is caring for you? The verse does not say my best friend or someone that is in my family is my shepherd. Also, let me ask you this. Are you trying to take care of yourself? Are you trying to take care of yourself? I know questions can arise as we consider who has care over us. Are you even trying to take care of yourself? Because the verse does not say, I am my shepherd. It does not say, the psalmist is not saying, I am my shepherd. Certainly, we should be responsible to try to meet our own physical needs. And definitely, the Lord has put people in our lives to help take care of us. But let's not get the wrong idea. Let's not get an over-dependence upon another. The Lord is sovereign over your situation. So where do you find yourself this afternoon? The psalmist found himself in a position of saying and declaring that the Lord is his shepherd. The Lord is working behind the scenes in ways that we cannot see. When we are trying to meet our own physical needs, as we should all work, we should labor for the needs and to bring about a lifestyle that will be pleasing to the Lord. We do not need to worry as we work, because the Lord is definitely the one who is in control of everything. We don't need to be worried about how everything will work out, because the Lord knows your situation and is able to provide what you need. Getting this idea of the shepherding, the shepherd knowing the needs of the sheep, we will continue on. So mostly I've been describing a situation of care for you as it relates physically. What things do you need in this life? And I have said that we should all work, we should labor, that our physical needs might be met. But what about our spiritual needs? Who is caring for you? What about your spiritual needs? Well, the truth is, we must trust that the Lord is the only one who can meet our spiritual need of forgiveness of sin and of righteousness with which to stand before the Lord and be pleasing to the Lord. So physical needs and spiritual needs should be considered when you think of who is taking care of you. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord is our shepherd. At this point, he does not say the Lord is our shepherd. Does not say that the Lord is the shepherd of all the elect of God. That's not what is being spoken of here. It is true that Jesus is shepherding all his sheep. But the psalmist is making a personal statement. A personal statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say the same? Can you say the same? And if you can, then the rest of the psalm will rejoice your heart. You will see the benefits of the Lord being your shepherd as we look further. But before we go further, can you say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? By God's grace, I hope that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. So when the Lord is your shepherd, what do we see? That second half of verse 1, I shall not want. You shall not lack. You shall not be in need. You shall not be lacking. Isn't this a glorious thought? And more than a thought, it is a glorious truth out of the very Word of God. You never will want or lack anything that you truly need if the Lord is your shepherd, you see. Notice I said that you will never lack anything that you truly need. I did not say that you will not be lacking in wants. There are many things that we might want, but you know the Lord knows what we need. And so the Lord is my shepherd is a glorious statement and is glorious consideration as we come to Psalm 23. And the first benefit is that we shall not be lacking in anything that we truly need. This is speaking of physically, the things that we need. It's speaking of spiritually, the things that we truly need. And so the Lord knows. The Lord knows what we need. In verse 2, we find that the Lord knows what location that we need. Psalm 23, verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord takes His people to places that they need to go. The sheep, they need green pastures for nourishment. The sheep need still this comfortable ease, this quiet, peaceful water. The Lord, as the shepherd of His sheep, knows what location His sheep need. And particularly, He knows what they need to eat. He knows what they need to drink. He knows what is necessary for them to be sustained. Do you know that we should find contentment in the Lord's leading us to certain locations or situations in this life? Paul was content with the Lord's shepherding. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Scripture was brought out this morning. Paul was content with the Lord's shepherding. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Oh, the Lord knows what we need. He knows what location. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. The blessing will come of the Lord being our shepherd when we realize that He knows what location, He knows our needs. And it might be that we need to go to the green pasture at the moment. It might be that we need to go to the still water at the moment. For the moment, come away by yourselves. Let's rest a while, He tells the disciples at times. And there might be a location that you need that will not be as comfortable. For other scriptures certainly bears witness to this. But nonetheless, the Lord is the shepherd of His sheep. May we find contentment in the fact that the Lord knows what we need. Back to Psalm 23. In verse 3, we find that the psalmist says, "The Lord restores his soul." He restores my soul. Psalm 23, verse 3. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The Lord knows that we need restoration of soul. And the Lord knows that we need righteousness for his name's sake. For the Lord is the only one who can restore, literally turn back our souls. For our souls are all headed in a direction apart from grace that is certainly not comfortable. It is certainly not an everlasting life direction that our soul is headed. For our soul needs to be restored. It needs to be turned back. We need to be turned even on a path of righteousness or onto the right path. And so, what is the reason that I say we need to get onto the right path? For it is for the sake of the Lord's name. And it is a blessing for you to walk on the right path. Don't we all like to be found on the right path? But the main reason that we need a certain manner of life, a certain way, is so that that right path of our life can result in the praise of the name of the Lord. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. The Lord knows that we need restoration of soul, and the Lord knows that we need righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is leading his sheep in this way. The highest end of any man or woman or child is to live for the Lord, to glorify his grace, to worship him in all things. The Lord leads his people in that direction, so you don't have to worry. Many worries come up in this life, many temptations to worry, but you don't have to worry about what's direction to go, for we are to submit ourselves to the Lord through his word. He will lead us, certainly. Drawing back on the life of Paul some degree, Paul was content with the Lord leading him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paul was content to be led in the paths of righteousness for the Lord's sake, Lord's name's sake. We know what scripture, or probably you have something on your mind of where Paul was being led in a certain way for the name of the Lord. It's in 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. An example from the scriptures of someone who is being led for the Lord's name's sake. Led for the Lord's name's sake. This will help us as we submit ourselves to the Lord, and as the Lord is our shepherd, he knows what we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 16, "I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I'm saying with this boastful confidence, I say not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you and devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Verse 23, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. Verse 24, five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God of the Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Artus was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Paul is boasting about things that he's gone through, getting the attention of the Corinthians, saying, certainly he is the real deal, but the Lord knows what Paul needs. The Lord knows the direction that his life will go in order that he might live a life in a path of righteousness for the sake of the name of the Lord. And so he went through all these things. But let me tell you something else that the Lord led him through. It goes on in verse 12. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in my weaknesses. The Lord was certainly leading Paul. So many understand, certainly Paul speaking of himself here at the beginning of verse 12. The Lord was continuing to lead him in the paths of righteousness for the sake of the name of the Lord. The Lord knows the way to lead his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Where has he led you? You say, well, I hear of all this suffering that Paul has experienced for the sake of the gospel, but I also hear of this great, great blessing where he got to speak, got to see things, and so much so that man may not even utter the things that he has got to experience with the Lord. But the Lord knows, and so the Lord continues to lead. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, so to keep me from becoming too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The Lord knows certainly that we need restoration. We've got to be turned back again. We've got to be given life of the Spirit. But the Lord knows the way to lead us in this path of righteousness. What does the upright life look like for you? The scripture lays it out. Certainly principles that the Christian will live by, should live by. The way that we should walk in the truth, not go to the left or to the right of God's word. But where exactly will your steps fall as you go through this life? Well, the Lord knows what you need. We can see certainly from Paul's life that the Lord was leading him in great places of joy and experience of the Lord. And he also led him in some very difficult places. But nonetheless, when the Lord is my shepherd, there is a confidence, there is a comfort, there is a peace. Back to Psalm 23, and we'll look to verse 4. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord knows how to comfort us. When the Lord is your shepherd, then you can truly be comforted. Even though we might have to walk down a dark path, a valley, or the valley of the shadow of death. Death is so close that we can see its shadow. The person who is led by the Lord does not have to fear any evil. Why would we not be afraid when death is near? Because the Lord is with us, and the Lord has a rod. Strong says literally a stick for punishing. It could be for fighting, ruling, walking. It could be even for riding. And the Lord has a staff, walking stick for support. The Lord knows how to comfort us. The Lord knows how to comfort us. Even when we are in a very dark situation. If you can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. And I say that there is great benefit and blessing by following the Lord Jesus Christ, being in right relationship with Him. What about the days that are dark? Well, do not fear. Do not fear. There is no need to fear. Because it says, the psalmist knows, and we should know, that the Lord is with me. Acts chapter 14, as we're back and forth looking at the life of Paul. Acts chapter 14, a few verses there. Paul did not fear because the Lord was leading him. Well, what is one such circumstance? Acts 14, beginning in verse 19. Acts 14, 19, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. What a great example. The psalmist says, when things get dark, even so dark as the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We see the life of Paul. He got into a pretty dark situation. He was stoned and left for dead. Well, how do you know that he's not fearful? Well, he went back into the city and ultimately he came back to the same place and around the same people possibly that had done this thing to him and assaulted him. Why would anyone? Was he just crazy? Oh, I think he trusted the Lord. And the Lord was leading him. May we follow the Lord's leadership. For certainly the Lord knows how to comfort us. If there is some defending that needs to take place, and certainly in many ways the Lord can provide this, but he has a rod. And certainly he has a staff. And he can defend us, and he can support us and protect us, is the picture we see from the psalm. Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Lord knows how to bless in the most difficult situations. You see, the Lord knows how to richly provide even when our enemies are very near. Do we get uncomfortable? Do we get on edge? Do we get nervous when those might be considered our enemies are near? Well, the Lord can bless even in this situation. The Lord provides the feast on the table, anointing of the oil, the cup that is overflowing. The Lord knows how to bless, to richly bless, and even the most difficult situations. You might think, well, for my life to be lived for the Lord, I need to get away from this certain situation and those people. But if the Lord were to keep you there, the Lord can bless even in the most difficult situation. Verse 6, and finally, Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord knows how to bless forever. Surely, surely, surely goodness. This pleasant, beautiful, good things, these pleasant, beautiful, good things that the Lord provides. Surely, mercy. Steadfast love, covenant loyalty shall follow, pursue or chase me all the days of my life. Surely goodness, goodness meaning pleasant, beautiful, good things, of course, as the Lord has determined, and mercy, his steadfast love, his covenant loyalty shall pursue or chase. Follow me all the days of my life. There are not a lot of things that I want to chase me. Have you ever been chased? There's not a lot of things. I do not want a bull or I do not want a dog to chase me. But goodness and mercy are things that I want chasing me. The Lord says that he will provide this blessing. He will provide this goodness and mercy all the days of my life. The person who the Lord is their shepherd shall ultimately dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as we can think about the eternal house of the Lord forever and ever. We know Jesus has gone to prepare a place for his people. And he would not have said that unless he was going to come again and take his sheep to himself. Paul knew that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is hard pressed between two things. His desire, though, is either to stay here on this earth or depart and be with the Lord. He said, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And we know that if this tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Speaking of this body and this tent, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. And so the Lord knows how to bless forever, for we may be with Him. We may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. The question the psalmist started, and the question to consider is the Lord your shepherd? The psalmist declared, the Lord is my shepherd, so I'm not going to lack anything, and here are all the blessings, and here is how the provision will be provided. The question for us to consider is, the Lord my shepherd? I would encourage you, call out to Him, for He is gracious and merciful. Remember what He has said, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that even goes on to rest for our souls. And so, thank the Lord that He has provided the under-shepherd, the one to lead in the local church. But we will not truly see God's wisdom in providing the under-shepherd if we do not see the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God in Jesus being the good shepherd, laying down His life for the sake of His sheep. Oh, may we see Jesus as the sinless Son of God, the one who died paying our sin debt in full. Oh, may we come to Him, call out to Him. May we follow Him. May we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Let us pray. Lord, we have looked at a very familiar psalm this evening. I pray that you would minister to your people even tonight. Wherever they might find themselves in this life, Lord, may they look to you in a greater and greater way. Lord, thank you for the great blessings that comes from following you. Lord, would you give us grace for this? And Lord, for those that cannot honestly say that you are their shepherd, Lord, would you call them to be your sheep? Lord, would you allow them to hear your voice, and would you grant them grace for repentance? Would you grant them the gift of faith, we pray? May they truly trust and depend upon you and not in others. Lord, we need to be cared for so desperately. And Lord, I thank you that your care lasts forever and ever. You know exactly what we need. So may we call out to you even now. It's through Jesus that I ask this blessing. Amen. Amen.
Trinity 319. Let's stand, please. Thank you.